With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome. All right, got to clear my throat there. Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of April, Monday. And as you can see, I'm back, and I want to praise the good Lord for the folks that filled in. They did a great job. And tonight, we have a whole lot to talk about, so we're going to get right into it. We have tonight, on the dials with a smile, we have Kenny.
Good evening, Pastor.
There you go. Thank you. And way out yonder, we have the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
I'm here again, like a bad penny. I keep showing up.
Yep, and so we have a whole lot to talk about tonight. So we're going to get right into it. And remember the title of the message, Joe?
'Tis the season of trickery, treachery, and treason.
Boy, is it. Boy, is it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start tonight in Daniel chapter 6. Now, Joe, just amazing, it's amazing the similarities between Daniel and President Trump. And so as we go through here, I want you to read verses 1 through 3.
All right. It pleased, I'm having trouble getting my equipment set with you. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts under them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
All righty. Well, here, when we take a look at this, this Darius, if you will, he wasn't the Persian Empress Darius the Great, as a lot of people think. This actually was Darius the Mede, and he was his name was Darius Gobryas, and he was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans by the Persian Emperor Cyrus, and he was known as a great, great general. And here, as we take a look at this, when Daniel served, I mean, it was an amazing thing because Daniel served 40-year reign under Nebuchadnezzar, under Belshazzar, and later under Darius. And he, Darius had been informed about Daniel's interpretation of the handwriting on the wall. And so he soon recognized Daniel's unique abilities and rewarded him with a very high position. And Daniel was in his 80s at this time of this writing. Now, it's an interesting thing because Daniel was under Nebuchadnezzar, was also a sheriff. But let's take a look at some of the similarities here. Daniel was one of three presidents. He was the top president. Daniel and Donald, you know. It's an interesting thing because Daniel had two other presidents that conspired against him, wanted him to be removed. And Donald like Trump's
Hillary
got
Hillary and Biden.
Well, no, Hillary was never a president. But
well, yeah, you're right, Obama.
Obama.
Hillary and, was one of the princes then.
Right. And Obama and Biden are, to this day, remember the Russia hoax. Now they've got all of these things, and Biden and Obama are behind all of this, what they call lawfare, this corruption. And so here now, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents, the princes, or the legislators. Okay, remember who it was that tried to, how many times they wanted to impeach Donald Trump. And they impeached him on false, totally false charges, the Democratic Communist Party. And they were filled with corrupt, just as here Daniel had to face these corrupt lawyers of his day, and corrupt legislators of his day, corrupt judges of his day. And so the same thing has taken place today with President Trump. It's amazing all of the similarities between the two. But it's an interesting thing, too, then, when it says Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Daniel, at that time, was a contemporary of Ezekiel. And if you'll go over to Ezekiel chapter 14, in Ezekiel chapter 14, if you would read me verse 14.
Just a second. I'm not getting there.
You can do it, little soldier.
Come on.
I'll tell you what. If you can read verse 14, I'll read verse 20.
All right, Ezekiel 14 and what verse?
14.
So these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver, but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God.
So those men were considered the most godly men of their generation here. And so now, but there was a message there, and let me read verse 20, because the message again is clearly spelled out. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So what does that mean? That means that we can't get anybody else into heaven. We can witness to them, preach to them, okay? But
even
they have to make
children,
that
we can't even bring our own children in.
No, I wish we could. And I guess there's a whole lot of parents and grandparents out there listening right now that say, boy, that would agree with that. But here now, so Ezekiel was a contemporary. He knew Daniel. They knew each other. And so Ezekiel is saying, is talking about Daniel's righteousness. It's another thing here, because Daniel was also known for his great intellect, okay? And so, in fact, let me jump over to Ezekiel chapter 28 for a minute. And here I want to, the Lord is chiding Ethabel the Third. And now Ethabel the Third also happened to be Jezebel's nephew. And he decided that he was a god. Let me just read this. Now God's listening to them. And so God is chiding him. And let's see what God has to say. Now the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Now, in other words, where his kingdom was at this top of this huge mountain, where the ships had to pass right below where he was to get passage. And by the way, he was involved in human trafficking. That was one of his major things. And in other words, when you're up high on that mountain, you can demand whatever you want for the ships to pass through, or you can dump big rocks on them, okay? And so here, he's saying, I'm a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not a God, and thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Now here's where he chides him. Oh, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that they can hide from thee. Oh, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver in thy treasures. Oh, with thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. And again, guess who it was? It was the, and then that's exactly what he had. And he said this, they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of men that are slain in the midst of thee. And I think what he's saying here to these people really are going to apply to a lot of the corrupt politicians that we have today. Who are professing to be gods. You know, Obama professed to be a god. Soros professed
George
to be Soros, a god.
Quite clearly, yeah, I am a god.
Yeah. He says, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, and saith the Lord God. And so here, and he tells him, wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am a god? But thou shalt be a man and no god at the hand of him that slayeth thee. So he's chiding him, saying, look, I tell you what, I'm going to send these men over there, these Chaldeans, to kill you. And so when they get there, go ahead and tell them that you're a god.
Yeah.
And see if they buy it. Okay.
And I don't think the Chaldeans bought it, did they?
No, they didn't buy it. No. No.
Didn't slow them down a bit.
Ethabel's the one who bought it, okay. And so here, the idea, though, he chided him with saying, well, you're wiser than Daniel. Daniel was known for his great, great wisdom in that day. So go ahead and pick it up in verse 4 and read it all the way through verse 9.
Well, I'd like to stop at 4 because something hit me on this one. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And I'm going, this just screams what's happening to Donald Trump. They tried twice to impeach him, but there were no grounds. They tried to get him guilty of Russian collusion, but there was no collusion. Everything that they've tried to pin on him, he didn't do. He was totally innocent of everything charged. So what did they have to do? They had to, in all these court cases he's in, they took a misdemeanor on something and turned it into a federal crime in a state court. And, I mean, it's all made up.
It's all like pure corruption.
Corruption and made up lies.
Yeah, it is. And the American people more and more are seeing this. You have that attorney, that Turley, you know, he was really making a good point. There is nothing that Trump has done that is illegal. And some of the things they've charged him for doing are not illegal, okay?
Yeah, and well, so, today he came out and said he was in total disbelief of what, utter disbelief. He said that what is clear in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. And he said they, you know, they zapped a bunch of things together, you know, alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under federal laws that don't even exist, you know. And so he's saying, you know, Trump did nothing wrong. None of the charges, they're all made up.
Absolutely. And you know, and I'll tell you what, you know, Trump could be accused of anything in that city of New York there. Again, they are so corrupt. There may not be one court, there may not be one judge in that city that's not corrupted. You know, that Mershon, that guy, anybody that would have had any honor, any integrity, any decency in that position would have recused himself. That man is without honor. He's without honor. He's without dignity. He's without decency. And again, we know that here the Bible calls them judicial whores.
Whores, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
You're right. Yeah, you get a situation like that, a corrupt... What, everybody that joins in underneath has got to be corrupt to play the game, or they're going to be gotten rid of. They've got to be part of the system, or... You know, I mean, it's so powerful there in the D.C. circuit, New York. Nobody else is going to get in. Even the bars, look at the Bar Association there. They should have been the ones that stood up and said, no, this is phony. This is a dog and pony show. We're not going to allow it. They've said nothing. Why? Because the entire Bar Association is corrupt in the state of New York.
Absolutely. It is completely and totally corrupted. And here, you know, today... our sheriff was talking about, he was talking about, introduced from, he and some other sheriffs to a bunch of sheriffs from the state of New York. And when they said they're from New York, before the other sheriffs could say anything, the sheriffs from New York says, wait a minute, we're from the state, upstate. We are not from New York City. We're not.
You wanted to clarify that real quickly, right?
Yeah, we don't have anything to do with that. Well, here now, go ahead and when...
Five through what, eight?
Read five through eight, yeah. Through nine.
Right. Through nine. Five through nine. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree.
Okay, now, let's take a look at how Trump, like Darius, was deceived. Darius was tricked. Now, when it came to the COVID vax, the kill shot, Trump was surrounded by here people like Fauci and that Deborah Birx. These are corrupt, I mean, just totally corrupt people. And so these were the so-called experts.
Lifetime bureaucrats.
Yeah, well, crooks. Big time. Yeah,
yes, but they were, they'd become part of this deep state, and it was so, like Trump even admitted, it was way deeper, bigger, whiter than he ever imagined.
So what happened with him? Now, he had no, Trump was not a virologist like you or I. I would, and I wouldn't know anything, you know, about these vaccines other than I don't trust Big Pharma.
And so, the government.
So when they brought this out, and people say, well, Trump said, let's get this vaccine. Trump was told you have to have a vaccine right away, that this COVID, it was deadly. It's going to take out half the planet. And so Trump said, let's do this. If we're going to make this, let's make it. But now, Trump understood something. That was, if it was experimental, if it was called experimental, then the people under the Constitution could not be forced to take it against their will.
Right. They could only take it if they wanted to.
Right. So he understood that. But then at the same time, here, you know, remember 3 weeks before the first person took the first shot, here on this radio program, we told everybody that this so-called vaccine is not a vaccine, it's a bioweapon, and every single test animal that was tested died, okay? But Trump knew this, and then Trump was also telling people you should take hydroxychloroquine. Remember, he was saying...
Yeah, he was pushing it.
He said, I got COVID, and this is what I took, hydroxy. He was pushing that, okay? He was starting to figure out that he had been conned, right?
Right.
And so here, and of course, and when they keep saying that 60% of the people took the COVID shot, I don't believe that for a minute, okay? The vast majority of people, I don't believe, did take it. A lot of them said they took it.
Of course, the people we know are more conservative, more intelligent, and more likely to not believe everything out of the mouth of government. So there could have been a lot of liberals, a lot of stupid people out there that just went ahead and obediently lined up.
Well, there probably was as many that were forced, but I know one thing, that we sure did get a lot of requests. Remember, we sent out thousands of those forms, those exemption forms, and we sure got a lot of requests from those, and people wrote us back.
And they were very, very successful, and I mentioned that friends of mine, family members had used it, and they were all successful.
Yeah.
So the Lord blessed us there.
Absolutely. But again, here, it's so... so many similarities between Daniel and President Trump here. Go ahead and read verses 10 through 15.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they that said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed.
Well, you know, even the king himself couldn't undo his own signature once that was done. Do you think now, because we know Darius didn't have a good night's sleep.
No.
Now, do you think that would be that Pilate also did not have a good night's sleep?
I would venture to say that he was a little distraught at what was cut. It was forced on him. He ended up just having to capitulate against all the powers that be. But the other thing I find interesting here, in a republic, our republic is rule of law, and based on what? Laws that do not change, cannot change, because they're God's laws. And this is where these people making their king as though the king were a god, because what? The laws of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. I found it an interesting contrast there.
Absolutely. Well, we're up against a hard break, so we'll be back right after this with more.
the mountains up near Sandpoint, north of Naples, Idaho. Eagles gathered there together to guard the truth, so you might know. Down the road that followed Deep Creek, at the turn that crossed the bridge, federal marshals had the roadblock to mark the siege of Ruby Ridge. There the armies of the enemy slayed your bride and only son, nearly killed your close companion when the shrapnel pierced his lung. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. On that evening, late one August, you were forced to take your stand. There two strangers, as they trespassed, drew first blood on private land. Governor Andrus, back in Boise, he let the enemy tell him lies. And from his anti-Christ decision, Sam and Vicky lost their lives. Federal agents, U.S. Marshals, and FBI men stormed the hill, all on false, fictitious charges, given orders, shoot to kill. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Though the armies of the enemy may surround us in the night, there's a host of heavenly angels hovering near, ready to fight. We stand with you, Randy Weaver. We are proud to call you friend, as we gather here together to stand beside you till the end. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is.
Alrighty, I knew Randy Weaver. He was a friend of mine. And what happened? You had two corrupt federal agents. It wasn't like in the days of Ted Gunderson. When Ted Gunderson was the head of the FBI, the whole Southwest, Ted was an honorable, honorable man. And in fact, he came up here and stayed with us. And he told me that his biggest danger was from within. It was from rogue agents within the agency. And I would imagine at that time with people like Chris Ray and Jim Colmey and that were coming up through the ranks there. But here, they finally killed Ted. And, you know, his territory was New Texas, New Mexico, California, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, and Oregon. You know, that whole area and was his territory there. And today, you know, and what happened again, today we had a gathering of eagles at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. The church was absolutely packed. And our sheriff, Scott Hildebrand, came out, and he spoke for just shy of 2 hours to us. It took a lot of questions. And Joe, I'm going to ask you, I know you'd know the answer, but here, what was the greatest concern of the Christian Patriot Conference today? Now, we had leaders from all different organizations there, from the Tea Party, from the John Birch Society, from the Liberty Coalition, from the Roundtable. We had all different organizations were there. And What do you think was the greatest? I'm going to read these off, and you tell me what you think was the greatest concern of the people there when questioning the sheriff. Was it Antifa or the Burn, Loot, and Murder? Was it the Hamas Democrats that you see out there at these universities, Columbia? And I guess they were at Harvard today.
Yale, New York, yeah. MIT, Emerson. Oh, they were all over today.
Well, you know, a couple of the announcers there on Fox News made some questions. They said, look at this and hear about 80% of those in this were women. 80%. Yeah. In fact, the whole
amounts of the crowds were female.
Pardon? Yeah,
you're absolutely right. I noticed that, too, in the different crowd videos. The majority of all the people in the crowds were women.
Yeah, well, they showed, a good, large crowd, and they said, where are the men? There are no men in here in that hole. And now there were some men farther back, okay, but very few. And what does the Bible teach about where the enemy attacks women in the area of discernment?
Their weakness is discernment.
Yep, and this is why today the young men are trending towards the right, becoming more conservative, and a lot of that's got to do with the way they've been attacked. The males, young males have been attacked and for being male and for being white by the very corrupt deep state. But these women in the colleges, there are now more women that go to college than there are men. Men are going more towards the trades now. They're going back to the trade schools. And these women want to become lawyers. And they're really confused. And they're hell-bent, okay? A lot of these young... No, not all of them. I want to praise the good Lord because we have a lot of good, godly young women, especially attending the Christian universities. And that one university out there that they're trying to put out of business, we'll talk about that later, that Biden's trying to close down. But anyhow, so Antifa, Burn, Loot, and Murder, Hamas, Jihad terrorist, the drug cartels, the human trafficking cartel, MS-13, the FBI, or the DOJ, which of those do you think the vast majority of people were more concerned about?
Well, I think it'd be a toss-up between DOJ and the FBI because you run afoul of one, you run afoul of the other.
Well, you're absolutely right. 90% of the questions today had to be, and we had a man there. There was a man there today who stood up and very passionately gave his testimony how his family had been terrorized, how he had gotten a call from his daughter, and she was crying. And this is right there in Kirtland. She was crying and said that there's 20 men running around here with guns, and you know, she was there with her children. And they have my husband in a car. So he hurried right over there. He was armed. And today, by the way, a good percentage of the people that came out there today were armed. They were wearing guns. And so here... He went over there, and the reason that they were after him, that they came in and terrorized his family, was because he was there on January 6th in D.C. Now, he wasn't a terrorist or anything like that. He just was there. And that's January 6th of 2021, Joe. And so...
Yep, they're still trying to round them up. They're trying to intimidate people with just still trying to find anybody that was there, no matter if they did anything. All they had to do is be there, be on the ground, and the whole point is to scare everybody away and tell them, if you stand up against the deep state, we'll get you. If you go out and protest, we'll get you. What they're using, intimidation and fear.
And so you're right, and the results are what is happening now. There are more and more meetings that took place in our church today are taking places all around the country. People are starting to awaken. When they're seeing pro-lifers, for being pro-life, are drug out of their houses in the middle of the night, their doors kicked in, because they prayed outside a bloody whorehouse of death called an abortion mill. When they've seen the FBI become dirty, I mean really dirty, and, you know, and I want to say this. I had some friends over the years, good friends. Ted Gunderson was a very good friend in the FBI. I did actually three radio programs with FBI agents sitting right in the studio, and they were good, honorable people. They could hold their head right up, and they were not ashamed of being an FBI agent because they were there. They fought communism. Today, it's not the case. Now, I'm not saying that all FBI agents have gone bad, and I know there's a number of field agents out there that they're more ashamed of the FBI than we are, actually, because they're a part of it, and a lot of them just want to retire, get out, because it's hard to hold their head up now, and when people say, and their children, you know, when their children don't want to tell their friends that their fathers are in the FBI, you know, because people like Jim Comey and Chris Wray have made it dirty. They've made it dirty. Instead of fighting communism, now they become the enemy today.
Yeah. The enemy that when the people are afraid of government, we are not free.
That's exactly right. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people
right.
fear the government, you have tyranny.
And that's what we have today. We've been trying to tell. We've been giving it almost a blow-by-blow, step-by-step description for what, well over 30 years. You've been
yeah,
longer
yeah.
than I have, so.
Many, many years. Yep, you're absolutely right. But anyhow, that was really a good meeting today. And, you know, people, you know, the left, they're feeling, you know, more assured that they're going to be able to fight back against the deep state. And so...
the things, I guess, you perfect example, get with your local sheriff. Hopefully you can have a constitutional sheriff who understands the Constitution. And there's a group of constitutional sheriffs, and they're led by another good friend of yours. And
Sheriff Richard Mack.
Sheriff Richard Mack, right? We both know him. And the idea, if you have your local sheriff, he is the highest elected official in the county, and he can actually keep the FBI out of his county. They have to come through him to go after you, but most people don't know this. A lot of sheriffs don't know this. Again, ignorance of your law, ignorance of the kind of government you have. And it can be used against you, that ignorance. You need to get yourself, you know, elect a good constitutional sheriff.
Well, there are the problem you have in some of these, and even in the state of Ohio, they have statutory sheriffs. The legislators have changed that, and the sheriffs want to go back to being constitutional sheriffs.
Right.
And so when they're constitutional sheriffs, again, they can post it because, you know, again...
They're elected by the people, not appointed by the government.
The federal government literally has declared war on Christians and Jews.
Yes,
they've
they
declared
have.
War on us. And so, and I'm talking about real Christians and real Jews. I'm not talking about the apostasy out there.
You notice they never come after the prosperity preachers. They have nothing to fear from them. So they never go after them. It's always somebody at an abortion clinic or, you know, protesting something the government's doing that's evil, wrong, you know.
Those well, it's because the prosperity after. Preachers have a lot of money and they can hire high-priced lawyers.
Well, true. But they also don't do anything that offends government.
Right. All they're doing is what the government is doing, and that's fleecing the people.
Yeah. They're almost a competition, but earlier you were talking about, I've got a story I want to tell. It's about an elderly lady named Eva Edel. Now, she's 89 years old. She turned 10 years old in a death camp in Nazi Germany. And right now, she believes that she's going to die in a U.S. prison. Why? Well, she's been charged by Joe Biden's Justice Department with violating the Freedom of Access to a Clinic Entrance, or FACE, Act, and she is facing 11 years in prison and $350,000 in fines. She said, quote, "When I was indicted, I began to prepare to die there." This lady is one powerful Christian. But there's a little more to the story. You see, she looked back on her experiences with communism then in Yugoslavia, and she refuses to underestimate those who have power to oppress her and the people. She recalled how her mother couldn't believe that they were in danger at home until it was too late. "We've done nothing wrong. Who would harm us?" she remembers her mother saying. "Then our whole people was destroyed," she said. "We hadn't done anything wrong as far as I know. They were Danube Swabians, an ethnic German-speaking group. Her whole family was rounded up by soldiers under the communist leader known as Tito. And she was shipped off in cattle cars to a concentration camp. I guess not in Germany, but Yugoslavia. We were packed body to body." And she talks about how she slept on straw, one dress, little food, never bathed. Everything was filthy. We had diarrhea, dysentery, typhoid, rats. Went on, no toilet facilities. We had one outhouse. How do you do have masses of people with diarrhea in one outhouse? Filth and disease were rampant. And she went on telling the horrible story. But her mother was forced to work as a slave laborer, and somehow her mother snuck back into, I'm going to make a long story very short, into the concentration camp, rescued her young daughter who was dying, got her out, and somehow got her to the United States. It's a long, long story. So anyway, here's this girl, and she's in America learning English. And in about late 68, she found out about abortion. She said she didn't know what it was, and she was blown away when she realized, you know, wait a minute, they're killing babies. Not a tumor, not just a it, it's a baby. They're killing life. And she became a right-to-life activist, you know? And she just could not understand people wanting to kill a child. And she said, you know, during that time, she had talked to her husband about it and got his blessing, and she joined protesters praying outside abortion clinics, trying to dissuade women from aborting their babies. She said, quote, "We are doing what we are condemning others for. This is what people should have done for us." She talked about people should have, in Germany, gone and tried to be out in front of the trains that they were going by, the cattle cars. And she said, "We would put our bodies in front of the entrance to an abortion clinic, which I call the death camp, so nobody could come in and kill the babies." And she said, you know, because of this, but she talked about if people had only done this for us at the concentration camps, if the German people and the Yugoslavian people had come out. What if the citizens had come out and overcome their fear and stood on the tracks between the gate and the entrance to the death camp and the train? The train would have to stop, and while the guards on those trains would be busy rounding up the ones in front, another group could have come in, pried open our cattle car, and possibly set us free, but nobody did. She said she heard stories that people stood along the roadside and wept as the cattle cars went by, but she said that didn't help. So I said we place our bodies between the woman and the clinic to save the babies. This is a brave, wonderful person, and now she's facing the Department of Justice wanting to put her in prison for 11 years, $250,000 fine for what? Blocking entrance to the death camp, America's death camp, an abortion clinic. She's been through 13 presidents in her lifetime, and she said Biden is the worst of them all. And she said at her trial, they were not allowed to show images or pictures. They were not allowed to say that they acted in order to save lives, the lives of unborn children. None of that was allowed for a defense. She was tried in Nashville. Federal judge found her guilty of violating this federal FACE Act. And on July 30th, she will be sentenced. This is America, and I am ashamed of this nation.
I am too. And this is why, right now, I want to ask the people out there to join you in a prayer. We're going to pray as we should. If the people join, listen, these people that want death, the entire Democratic Communist Party wants death. They live off death. The stench of death is all over them. The media whores at NBC, CBS, and CNN, these people promote. They're evil. They're ungodly. The entire Democratic Party, you know, is filled with child molesters. I mean, a lot of people just don't realize it. A lot of the folks that were at our church today are people that have recently woke up, and you know, and they'll tell you, "Geez, I didn't realize, you know, just you know how far we're gone." And they don't realize that the entire Democratic Party, they're turning more and more every day to the Church of Satan, where Satanism is, they're embracing that as their religion, like these so-called rock stars, that woman out there, the one that's always, that they keep promoting, I can't remember her name, but you know, she is becoming more and more satanic. Just recently, Gaga.
Oh, and, Lady Gaga, yeah.
Yeah, and the other one out there have come and made very satanic statements in that.
Oh, yeah, but they wear upside-down crosses, and she got herself on a cross naked and upside-down. Oh, sick, the stuff she's done.
But, and they're going more and more, okay.
Satanic, so,
Joe,
yeah.
They want death, and if the folks out there would listen, and we pray in accordance with the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that God will return the death upon their own heads. To return that death upon their own heads. Now, God knows who's going to repent and who refuses. He's given everybody ample opportunity. He's given these people ample opportunity. And those that he still have time, he's not going to take. But those that absolutely will refuse to repent, let's pray, and if the people out there join us, that God will return that death upon their own heads. If you start seeing them falling like flies, okay, that will, number one, it'll save a whole lot of babies and children, but that would put the fear of God into them. God's waiting for the people to awaken. So would you pray to that order that the Lord would return that death that they want for all of us upon their own head?
Yes, I want to add one more thing. These people are leading our young people in the colleges and universities. We were just talking about the students there at Columbia, Yale, NYU, MIT, Emerson, places they're running around from the river to the sea. In other words, kill all the Jews. They are promoting the death of a group of people, just like this Nazi death camp, putting the Jews. They're calling for the same thing today. These are ignorant, stupid children, but they also need to know the leaders. Let's pray against them. Lord, as I look at this, I think of all these people that are promoting death out there, that are evil, wicked, horrible people who are obsessed with power, want to destroy this nation under God, want to get rid of the values, ideas, principles that were all based on your doctrine, your Ten Commandments. These people, Lord, they should repent or perish. And that if they are promoting death to a nation of people, death to the children of America, then, Lord, return that death upon them if they will not repent. But we know, like you, we wish none to suffer hell, the hellfire, that they would all turn from their wicked ways, see the light of the truth, the light of the gospel, and repent. But, Lord, if it not be, if it be thy will, return this death upon them. Stop them in whatever way thou seest fit. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thanks, Joel. All righty, we're coming up to a break, but, you know, I'm truly convinced now that Robert F. Kennedy, by the way, you know, John Kennedy, his uncle, and Robert, his father, would be ashamed of him. They would, because they were very pro-life. They were very pro-life,
yes.
They would be totally ashamed of the entire Kennedy clan now. I'm ashamed of them.
Yeah, but they're all voting for Biden. Well, he's just as pro-death as you get, and so is RFK. So
yeah, well, remember betrayal. Remember, betrayal to us is something that's repulsive. Within the collective, to the communist, betrayal, if you can betray someone of status, and someone, especially someone close to you, if you can betray them, then your stock within the collective goes up because you betrayed it, especially if you can have them removed.
Right. Well, it's like right now they're betraying Israel, just like they're betraying the children of America.
His whole family, his sisters and that betrayed him. His whole family turned on him, and they're supporting Biden. Now, he's on the ballot now in a number of states, so I truly believe he's going to take votes away from Biden because he supports baby killing even up to the time of delivery. And so that's their number one issue. They can't run on any other issue because Biden has destroyed our country. So the only issue they got to run on is, and they're taking, is these silly women laden with sin, is abortion, is child killing. And here, he's going to...
innocent blood. There is no blood.
Right, they're going to split the vote on
unborn
that.
Child.
Right, they're going to split the vote on that, and that'll help our side. And so, anyhow, we're going to be coming up to a break, and when we do, we're going to be listening to Mr. Levin. You know, he's going to be talking about where the funding from these Hamas, all of these Hamas students, these anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Israel,
oh, yeah,
students.
All the electronic equipment, all the cameras, all the posters, all of the equipment that they have, all of a sudden everybody had tents and signs and everything. Where'd the money come from?
Well, you know, we're going to see that.
Find out, huh?
Yeah, we're going to find out here in a minute. And meanwhile, Pompeo calls for EPA to be dissolved over unconstitutional reach. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, now Senior Counsel for Global Affairs with the American Center for Law and Justice, is calling for the Environmental Protection Agency to be dissolved. It's because it's been weaponized by extremists and is the newest agenda is simply to destroy the gas-powered vehicles in ways which would injure American families.
Destroy our entire way of life because our life revolves around energy, like natural gas and everything we need to have a good life.
Absolutely.
And so, clean up the environment. Natural gas is the cleanest fuel source in the world.
All righty. We're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to listen to Mr. Levine. So we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Light the fire, let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.